this week, two of our members, two servants of God, left us to be in the arms of God, there awaiting judgment that comes from only Him. I use the term servants because I believe that that's what they were. They still are. They are just a little ahead of us as we think about our own life as we continue to live here upon this earth. Cindy Slaughter sent me a video of John that was taken last fall, and in that video he said, "See you later, alligator." And that was just like John. That's the way he would be when we all remember him in his, I'm going to say, heyday, before he became ill. For he loved jokes, and he loved to talk about our young people here. He loved the young people here at Overland. He is at rest. We laid him in the tomb on Thursday, and then Brother Forrest passed away to his glory as a servant of Most High God. He worked a long time for what now he has, and that is the hope he has in Christ Jesus. And we will be saying our final goodbyes on Tuesday to him. Steve, to you and the rest of the family, we love you dearly. And the thing that all of us are going to miss is that fella sitting right there where Mackenzie is. Mackenzie, you couldn't be seated in a better spot. Not that you have taken Grandpa's seat, but you're seated in the seat of a servant who has gone on. And I say this not to embarrass Mackenzie, but one of the great things that Forrest loved was knowing that Mackenzie was preaching the gospel of Christ at Willisburg. That gave him great joy. Forrest has not been able to preach publicly for about 10 years or so. And it was the hardest thing in the world for him to do, not to do that. But in the teaching that he has offered to many of you here, in times past, to the grandchildren and great-grandchildren, he would say, "Family, granddaddy's okay. Y'all remain faithful. Do the will of the Lord and come home." You couldn't ask any more of that. Preparing ourselves to be not only with our Father, for it is all about Him, but aren't we grateful? God in His infinite glory gave His Son so that people like Brother Slaughter and Brother Morris could have hope in Christ and could teach that to their families so that one day all could be with God when this life is over. I told Cynthia, I'm going to miss his singing because I could hear him right where I was seated. And he would say it wasn't the best, but I guarantee you, it was all heartfelt. We don't stop loving these two brethren. We continue ourselves in the faith. Their faith has become victory. Their temporal has become eternal. We long for the day that we too can be with our Father. God bless each and every one. How great it is to be children of the Most High. I thought about that all day, today, before, and all. How are we going to say goodbye to two precious people? We can't ignore it, and we must not ignore it. They both would have said, "Worship, give God the glory, for it's all about Him." That brings us to a discussion of our subject this morning. You'll give me just a second to change gears just a little bit. As we think about the subject of the high cost of a free gift, some of you may recognize that picture that is on the screen. It is taken from one of the monuments in D.C. It is the monument for the Korean War. And it says at that memorial, the cost of freedom is not free. All the monuments that exist in that city, most of them, the most impressive is in reference to soldiers who have died. The unknown soldier being one of the great memorials of all time. I'm afraid sometimes as we think about being free, that's all we think about. Is that we think about the freedom that we enjoy. And yes, young people, you need to understand that you enjoy the freedom that you have right now because many men and women have sacrificed their lives so that we can be in a building like this to give God the glory. Those who never had a chance to have children like yourselves, but they sacrificed in order that you could have the ones that you will have and have had. Perhaps you've heard the statement that the best things in life are free. I guess that's true when you think about it sometimes when someone gives you a gift. For it really didn't cost you anything. It was something that was freely bestowed upon you. And sometimes we never ask the question in reference to the giver. What did it cost them? In many cases, most of the gifts that you and I have received in the secular world or in the temporal world or in the idea of family even, we just accept it and sometimes as if it was owed to us, never thinking about the amount of time and money and effort that was put into giving, getting and receiving that money so that one might give you the gift of it. And sometimes folks are very unappreciative. When we consider the gift that I want to talk about this morning in particular, and that is the gift of God, all that other was said because sometimes we seem to have the tendency of being more of an American than we are a Christian, where we put more emphasis upon being an American. We're spending all kinds of time right now talking about politics as if God still wasn't in control. Let me tell you, I'd rather be a child of God than any citizenship of any country. I'm a part of a heavenly kingdom where Christ is the King who is sitting at the right hand of God. In Romans 6, verse 23, it says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Even though it is a gift, even though it is something that God has given to us, it has cost a great deal. It cost a great deal to pay for the gift that you and I have received. And I pray that we never look down upon that gift. Or we just take that gift for granted. We need to forever remember the high cost of that free gift that comes from God. How can something cost that is free? That's what we would call a paradox. This is a way that many of the things that we read about in the Scripture turn out. Even the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What it really tells us is that we are a blessed people. We are a joyful people. We are a happy people because we know that life just doesn't consist with the now. That there is always the eternal. And we long for the day that we can be in that eternal abode. Beloved, there was a high cost in order you might have this gift that came from God. Do you really appreciate it? Do I really appreciate it? Or do I just take it for granted? As we think about this gift that comes from God, and as we think about it being a free gift, many have a wrong concept about how salvation is obtained. They think that salvation itself is earned by good works that they do. Look what I do. How many times do we hear people in the religious realm say, just look what I have done. Just look at what I have accomplished. Though this may not be one of the best times to talk about what a Muslim may or may not say, but this is how one felt about his hope in his false religion. All my life I have obeyed the Quran and worshipped Allah faithfully. If after death I find that there is no paradise, there is no hour with which a man may be comforted, as the Quran promised, I shall feel that I have been miserably cheated. I would say to any of them that they will have been not cheated. They had the opportunities to learn about Jehovah, about Jesus and his sacrifice. If I miss out on heaven, I will have missed it all. And I can't blame anyone but myself. You understand that? If you don't go to heaven, it's because you make decisions, wrong decisions. You don't need to keep making those same decisions. Many professed Christians want to say, well, just look at my good life. Oftentimes when somebody passes away, the first thing we want to talk about is their good life. Is a good life all that there is to being a faithful child of God? Somebody else may come along and say, well, David, I have given faithfully for some 50 years. Every Lord's Day, my check went into the basket. Somebody else might come along and say, may say, well, my faithful attendance. I was there every time the door was opened. But salvation is a gift of God, a gift to undeserving men. His grace being bestowed upon men. A few moments ago, we read actually from Romans 5, 6 through 8. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While mankind was still in their sins, Jesus came and sacrificed himself upon the cross. Our gift is not based upon our love for God, but his love for us. Oftentimes we talk about I loved God. Yes, but before you could ever love God, God loved you because God is love. And that's how a man learns love, is when he learns of God. Look over in 1 John chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. In this the love of God was manifest towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation, atoning sacrifice, that is, our sins. It is offered to all who will receive it. It is God's gift. Salvation is God's gift, freely offered. Doesn't mean that it didn't cost me. Never think and never take for granted that the hope we have in Christ Jesus cost everything. It costs so much. But the high cost of providing this gift, let me show you what it actually cost. It cost the Father his Son. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but through him the world might be saved. The world was already under condemnation. The world was already in sin. And so God sent his Son. It cost him the sacrifice of his only Son. He did not spare his Son. He gave his Son. Let me tell you, your salvation cost God his Son. And that Son was willing to do it all for the salvation of man. Your free gift, salvation and hope, cost God his Son. But it cost the Son something as well. Turn, if you would, to Philippians chapter 2. Verse 5 beginning. Let this mind be in you, which also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant. He took on the form of those that he had created. You and me, men and women like ourselves. And coming in the likeness of man, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, when we make it to heaven. You're not going to want to leave it. Can you imagine being in the majestic heaven with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? And all the worship that was taking place? And Jesus left every bit of that to come down here to this earth. Save the very creatures that he created. Thy will be done, Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane. Thy will, Father. Whatever it takes. And it took his dying upon the cross. It cost him for a while the glory and majesty of heaven. It cost him humiliation of servitude. God wiping the feet of man that he had created. It cost him being beaten. It cost him being hung on a cross. It cost him the laughter of mankind that he came to save, laughing and say he could save others, let him save himself. The nails didn't keep him on the cross. It is his love for God the Father, and the love for you and for me that kept him on the cross. Your free gift of salvation cost the Son of God. But he did it willingly. He sacrificed himself willingly for a lowly creature like me. And for you as well. You would think that that's enough. How much can somebody give up? How much is someone willing to give up for mankind? These undeserving creatures as they are. It cost the Holy Spirit as well. Over in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and there verse 13. We are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. From the very foundation of the world, this free gift that cost so much was being offered to mankind. Yet, as Ephesians 4 and verse 30 points out, there were those who were grieving the Spirit, and they grieved the Spirit by their disobedience. Suffering long with men, mankind, the Holy Spirit has, along with the Son and with the Father, as they pour forth the message of the gospel and the free gift that is offered. It costs the triune Godhead a great deal to make this gift of salvation possible for you and for me. Salvation costs. What a high cost to provide such a great gift. The acceptance of this gift brings on responsibility. Many of us have received something and we wanted to give it back because you did not want to. I don't know if I can handle this. I don't want to be responsible for this. If you've ever gotten the family Bible as such, and you are the possessor of it, and you begin to think, man, everybody's going to want to know that I'm taking good care of it. Everybody in the family is wanting to know where it is or what I'm doing with it. Am I taking good care of it? I don't know if I want that responsibility. One day in your past, you made the statement, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. When you made that statement, when you understood that a free gift was being given to you, that is, the salvation of your soul, the forgiveness of your sins, did you understand what it was going to cost you? Let's talk about the high cost of accepting this free gift. It means that I'm going to have to deny myself, and in many ways I'm going to have to renounce much that I would hold dear. That is, if that gift is going to mean anything at all. In Galatians chapter 2 and there verse 20, Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. What are you telling me, Paul? I'm telling you that when I accepted the free gift of eternal life, what I began to do and what I began to show is I began to show people Christ in me. I began to magnify Christ in my body. That when they saw me, they saw the Christ. They looked beyond me. He vividly expressed the joy that he felt because of the free gift that he had in our Lord. One cannot accept Christ and his salvation on any lesser terms than the complete surrender of ourselves. Sometimes we sing the song, All to Jesus I Surrender. And in the chorus we say, it starts out just giving a little before it's over, I surrender all. I want to ask you, I want to ask me, as we think about this free gift, have I really denied myself? Have I really renounced many of the things that I held dear before becoming a Christian? Or am I still doing those things? Have I given up? Me, follow the will of Christ. Over in 2 Samuel 24 and 24, David is getting ready to offer a sacrifice. And a friend said, I'll give you the sacrifice. I'll give it to you. Gratis. No problem. I'll give it to you. And David said, and I'm paraphrasing, I will not offer a sacrifice to God that hasn't cost me something. What are you saying, David? I will not take something that's been given to me as a gift and give it that way. It's got to cost me something. I need to surrender something. You gave a few minutes ago. Did it literally cost you anything? Did you give monetarily in the manner in which you should have to show? If it didn't hurt, then you didn't give and you did not sacrifice. It may be that you took that which had been sacrificed to God and bought your children a higher education, or bought them a car, or bought more clothes, eating out at a better restaurant. Can we say that I have surrendered all when we're unwilling to pay the price for this free gift? Have I surrendered all? Or just enough to soothe my conscience, to make me feel a little good. That's when it becomes a hard saying for many. For what they want is that they want to have the free gift. They're willing to say, I'll accept Jesus as my Savior, but they will not sacrifice so that they also give Him their life. We say time and time again, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God. The context is, allow God to rule over your hearts and over your lives. Let Him direct. That's why sometimes we're so afraid of what's going on in the nation. Is because we haven't surrendered ourselves to God. That was what was happening to Israel. They forgot who was the supreme architect of all things. And they worried needlessly. Give it to God. Sacrifice all. We need to learn that, as it states in Luke 24 and 47, that the disciples were to preach repentance and the remission of sins. It's not just enough for me to want the free gift of the remission of my sins. I must be willing to do the other thing, and that is to repent, and that is to change my life and to change my attitude. People ought to be able to say, there goes a Christian. There goes a child of God. You can see the difference by the way in which they conduct themselves. You can't just run around saying, I accept Jesus as my personal Savior, and don't think that there are any strings that are attached to that. To receive Jesus, I must surrender my life completely. Put my trust in Him. Understanding that my attendance, my godly living, my worship, when I've done all that I should have done, that is my duty, that is my responsibility, that is my obligation. When I ought to think of it, that is my love. That's the least that I can do. Then after we've done all that we can do, Luke 17 and 10 says that we are unprofitable servants. Jesus paid the cost. He paid the price. Salvation. Hope of eternal life. That's what Brother John and Brother Forrest took away with them. They took hope that they had in Christ Jesus. Nobody, nobody can take that away from them. And that's why the songs, a few minutes ago when we started singing the songs, I had a little trouble because I was thinking then, sort of hard not to, I was thinking then that this brother, these brethren who had sung these songs all of their lives are now closer to God than where we are. And they're ready to stand before Him. They still are. We haven't lost anything other than a personal presence. That's hard. But to know that those that we love have hope, they accepted the free gift, and they tried to the best of their ability to never lose sight of that free gift by showing their appreciation of worship and servitude to the Most High God. Salvation, eternal life. I'm thankful to God that He loved us enough to offer it to us. Here, you can have it. But He says, it'll cost you. Like in John 6, where Jesus lost almost 5,000 people at one time. He had fed them, and He said that they had begun to follow Him because of the fishes, and not because of Him. And it said that many of them turned away, called them disciples, that many turned away from Him, never to follow Him again. Because you see, they were not willing to accept the cost on their part. He turned to the 12. And I paraphrase, but He basically said, now fellas, I'm not going to change even for you men that I have prepared for the message to go beyond me. It's going to cost you too, and cost them it did. It cost most of them their very lives in some of the strangest ways. But Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You're the author of eternal life. You're the one giving this free gift. There's no one else that we can turn to. Lord, it's all about You and eternal life and our Father as well, the Spirit. It's either You or there's nothing. The cost of the free gift, as it cost Jesus His life, it'll cost me my servitude towards Him and my fellow man. I'm willing to pay the price. Are you? If you're not a child of God, you're lost. You're without God. You're without hope. The free gift has been offered to you, and up to this point of time in your life, you have rejected it. Keep rejecting it if that's what you want, but you'll answer for it. Because Jesus died, He died upon the cross to save you, to give you hope. What He asks of you is that you repent of your sins, confess your faith in the one that's giving the free gift, that is Christ. Then being baptized into Christ, where all spiritual blessings are found, Ephesians 1, verse 3. Oh, what a great joy it is to see someone who accepts that gift from God. But somewhere along the way, some of us, we reach a point where we take that free gift for granted. And little by little, we begin to rely upon the world again. And we forget that free gift that we had received and the hope that it gave us. Now we're out here in the world again doing whatever we want to do, forgetting what it cost the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. What it cost generations before us as they stood firm for the faith. So dear brother and sister, if you have gone back to serving Satan and his kingdom, that's exactly what it's about. Won't you recognize the world has nothing to offer you, and what it's going to give you as a wage is ugliness, sin, debauchery, no hope. Come back to the Lord. Live for Him. Die for Him. And one day you'll hear Him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Come on home." Think of that as we stand and as we sing.